Our next speaker is Chris Renati. Chris and I work together at Salomon Brothers. He's now on to different things, looking at our poor Americans, and he has a new book out called Dignity, Seeking Respect in Back Row America. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. What I want to talk about is what I call the pandemic gap, which most of the discussions I've been hearing in the media and certainly here is being viewed through the lens of the wealthy. That isn't a criticism. That's just a reality. The result, two points I just want to emphasize. When you take into account a broader perspective, this is going to hit the poor much harder, both in the U.S. and globally. This is going to basically evolve into a disease of the poor. And I think that is going to have large economic consequences, obviously has large moral consequences. But much more, I think, important for this crowd is it's going to have a lot of big political consequences that I think people aren't really thinking through properly right now. First and foremost, if you go to the U.S., when you think about the general language being talked about this thing, it's really, again, being spoken about by people like us, like me, like most of you listeners, who are literally squirreled away from in home, in nice homes, being able to work from home. The reality for a lot of America is you just cannot quarantine. It's to be blunt, it's a hell of an exercise, and people can't do it easily, and they eventually won't be doing it. There's going to be a lot of pushback against it. The logistics are just too awful. The reality is just too awful. You could Google Patterson House's Bronx if you want to look at one form of that. When you talk about shelter in place, place is doing a lot of work there. You know, if you live in a fourth floor walk up and nine people are sharing one bathroom, you're not going to want to spend a month there, and you're certainly not going to want to spend 2 months. In addition, home life is just a lot more complicated. That's just the reality of poverty. You can't buy deep freezers to store things. You don't have space to store things. You don't have green space to escape into. Think about the other thing I would call the laundromat gap. I think a lot of us here on this call have probably last used a laundromat maybe in high school or college, but a lot of Americans have to go to a laundromat. They do not have things in their homes. The other one is the Wi-Fi gap. One of my projects was spending a lot of time in McDonald's where people use the free Wi-Fi. Certainly with a lot of things moving online, a lot of poor Americans do not have Wi-Fi. They don't have cars to drive to get to parking lots with Wi-Fi. You know, if you live in a trailer and you have three generations there and, you know, some of those generations don't get along, again, people are not going to quarantine to the degree that we're able to quarantine. They're not going to socially distance. You simply cannot do that. And I think as this thing evolves, that's going to have large political consequences, especially if this goes into May. That's certainly true globally as well. I would just say, again, if you want to Google something, Google Jakarta, Kampung, K-A-M-P-U-N-G. If you want to see how roughly 1 billion people in the world live, they cannot simply socially distance. It's just utterly impossible. Sanitation isn't there. So consequently, this disease, which we can escape, is going to spread into poor neighborhoods, and it's going to be very disastrous at a both moral level and eventually a political level, because what's going to happen is our inequality that exists in this world is rarely so exhibited as it is now, where, you know, the wealthy are generally working from home in mansions and surviving, and the poor are having to work to keep shit running and being exposed to a disease that's going to kill them because of, again, lower health qualities.
Chris, thank you. When you told me before you spent a month in Jakarta, how do you think these mega emerging market cities, what's going to happen there?
I think there's a lot of questions why it's not popping up right now in the slums and the kampongs and the townships of South Africa. Some people talk about heat and humidity, but the reality is, again, if you just Google Jakarta kampong, it's going to spread in them if it goes into them, and it will go into them, and it's going to be devastating. So beyond the moral issue, there's the pragmatic issue that these are going to be reservoirs of this disease that can boomerang back into the G7 communities, into the wealthier neighborhoods. So in that sense, it's always going to be simmering in the, quote, literal back row. So, I think the political consequences are going to be much more dramatic than I think people are realizing, because this is going to fuel a lot of populism, because, again, rarely is inequality so displayed as it is now.
Chris, thank you.